an Audible link for Mothman's Prophecies.
What the fuck did you just say?
Mothman Prophecies?
No, before that.
Audible link.
Before that even.
Hi, I'm Sharknado 3's Will Wiley.
Oh, Sharknado 3.
Sharknado 03.
That's right. I forgot he was in Sharknado.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How long were you in it?
I was in it for approximately a half a second. Hey. 0.5.
It's more than I've been in it.
That's very true.
I love
I was the story. Sharks.
I met the lead guy on that movie. That dude is like 5'6".
No way.
He like looked me up and down, and he called me skinny. He was like, nah, too skinny.
You talking about Ian Ziering?
Yeah. I think he was in like 90210.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
Ian Ziering, yeah.
He just walked away. He just said that out of context, fucked off.
Just too skinny.
Yeah.
He walked off.
What a bitch.
Right? I mean, I'm sure he's a nice guy. I just think he's very awkward in situations like that. And he was like, well, how do I make this funny? You're skinny.
Okay.
And off he goes, yep, to do whatever else he had to do.
Yeah. You know, that story is wild because the entire set was just insane. Tyra Banks was in the back with, like, literally the Shining twins behind her. I'm not even kidding. In that movie, there's, like, these two, like, really tall, like, Swedish twin-looking guys. Nah, I'm good. And they're, like, just eerily standing behind her. And she's, like, sat 50 yards away from everyone. All of us extras, you know, the common folk.
Yes.
And there's, like, just two sweet... There's another one. Right behind her chair. She sat here.
Did they look like the dudes from season 2 of The Umbrella Academy? The blonde triplets?
If you mix them with Mark...
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I love the fact that Will may not have realized that I started recording. And nobody knows what the fuck he just did. He just stands up and...
I was going to point out that he's been doing physical stuff since you sat down. But, yeah. Like, oh, whatever. I do that shit all the time.
I need an interpreter for all my physical activities.
Will is currently standing... Job. And moving side to side to indicate that there are two
he
people.
He did strike a pose.
He did. Yes,
he was just he was rustling posing. With the microphone as I move around.
I usually translate for Ruben's eyebrows.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do use my eyebrows quite a bit.
Here, before we get all the way into it, would you like a drink, Will?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you like a drink or a shot?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Jameson Stout Edition, Jameson Black Barrel, or Sexton?
What do you got, Sexton?
Or Moonshine.
Yeah. Who had it? But, is it that kind of a day?
Technically, it's called Moonshine, but it's just basically vodka, flavored vodka.
It was vodka bathed in moonlight.
Tastes like straight root beer.
No. I'll do Sexton. Yeah, I'll do just a proper drink of Sexton.
He likes that sex by the ton.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to stop at 500 pounds. I want to go the full 1K of
there
sex.
There you go. Yeah. All right. So we got
isn't a ton 2,000 pounds?
Yes. I wasn't going to correct our guest like you do.
I will. I don't give a shit.
No, I'm Will. Nope. And I feel very dumb. Oh, good. Alcohol.
Yes.
Hey, Josh Boo?
Yeah. Hmm? Yeah, don't worry. I washed the coffee mug for you.
Nice.
The people listening right now are like, what the fuck is going on?
This is called a cold open.
Yes, this is a very, very cold
this
open.
This is my favorite type of open. We don't even have a drink minimum on this one because I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, this is just fun. This we're still doing. We got the midweek to go.
We need fun right now.
Yeah, we do.
Some bad shit just went down a couple days ago.
Yeah.
That's why I chose these. If you really want to call these fun, it's actually about like horrible, horrible murders and art death.
Murder. We have fun with it anyway, though.
Yeah, we will.
I think that'll be fun.
So, hello, everybody. Welcome to Corner Cafe Gossip.
Yeah, you got it right this time.
Yeah, our midweek episode. I am Don.
I'm Ruben.
I'm Josh.
And go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you. I'm Sharknado 3's Will Wiley.
That's right. He's also the president of the Corey Feldman Musical Fan Club.
Oh my God, the Feldman hole.
Yes.
If I know Will at all, Will is definitely actually the president of the Shakira fan club.
Oh yeah, Shakira. Yeah, all day.
Yeah.
Shakira.
I mean, it used to be her husband, but now she's single. I am now the president. oh, I have a chance. I have a girlfriend. She knew the stakes.
She lets me call her Shakira.
She's almost, it's like I've like drawn out my love for Shakira so much, she actually sees her as a threat.
Oh my God.
If I actually met Shakira, like, she won't let me go to a concert because there's like, what if he gets a little too close?
There's a chance.
It's not zero.
Hey, you know what that means, though? You know what that means? Is that your girlfriend has supreme confidence in your ability to fucking pull Shakira.
Right. That is such a high compliment. Thank you, Ruben.
No, I'm dead ass. Like, that's what that means. If she thinks you're that hot and confident that you could get to Shakira just as a chance.
In the middle of a concert. Shakira just stops everything and says, ooh, he's done.
You need to buy her flowers.
See, I feel the same way about Carrie Byron from the MythBusters build team.
God damn it.
Nerd!
I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah! For that's the point, Don.
Like, outside of Daphne from Scooby-Doo, she was, like, a lot of people's, like, that is a hot redhead. Yeah. Like, that is the redhead. I'm in love with her.
I watched MythBusters from season one, and I did not actually have a crush on Carrie Byron until after it was over.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. It was wild because one day I looked and I was like, oh shit, my tastes have changed.
All right, so we're going to get started because we still have like a whole bunch of shit to get through. So today we got a few, like I said, stories about just gruesome, horrible, horrible stuff.
Yeah, but they're out of the Urban Legends book. So
it's true. So the first story is called Bananas Can Eat Your Flesh.
Can they?
They're technically
radioactive.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're
not like about. Dangerous.
That's one of those like fun things you tell people at the bar.
Yeah.
You saw it online.
Right, how's this banana going to eat me?
You'll find out.
Tell me.
The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issued a warning to the American public that bananas from Costa Rica are infected with bacteria that can cause necrotizing fasciitis.
Oh,
a recently discovered infection that eats human and animal flesh.
They do this myth with
every import.
They do it with AIDS in bananas, too, and it's never been a real thing.
Depends on what you do with the banana. They may give you AIDS.
That's fair.
Just saying.
What are we doing with the bananas?
The same thing that we talked about doing with gerbils a few episodes ago.
Do the gerbils also produce necrotizing fetishitis?
No, they produce.
That is closer. Okay.
So scientists discovered the bacterial infection when they observed the monkeys in the jungles of Costa Rica.
Motherfucker.
Were dying.
It
by
is
the
same exact one.
And then I still went for the whiskey that is not Jameson.
What, you don't like Sexton?
I am also drinking the Sexton.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, the way you said it was like, you know.
No, I was like very carefully choosing between two different bottles of Jameson, and then I still chose Sexton.
Ah. I honestly was talking about the story being exactly the same as the AIDS one.
So
including the monkeys.
Oh.
Research led the scientists to conclude that the bacteria that killed the monkeys came from fruit and was especially virulent in bananas, Costa Rica's main import. The symptoms of the necrotizing fasciitis appear...
I wonder why they said these things.
Fasciitis? Not fetishitis.
Yes, not fetishitis.
No, but what you said was better.
That's so much better.
It was closer.
Thank you.
Necrotizing fascism appears...
That's the most importantly... Yes. That's the most accurate.
So it appeared within 3 days of eating a banana, the symptoms. The victim develops a painful skin rash and runs a high fever. The bacteria begin eating the victim's flesh at a rate of about 1 to 2 inches per hour. If a victim can't get
God,
to
it's got Josh.
I hit the wrong pipe with whiskey.
That's the best.
That's actually how you kill necrotizing
fetishism.
Fetishism.
Necrotizing phenomena.
Fascism.
Necrophilia fetishism. That's what we're getting towards here, right?
Yes, right, yes.
Yes. And we're back again, full circle to Carl Tanzler.
You can't get me anymore.
Oh, 2 weeks from now I will.
Not with Carl Tanzler.
Not with Carl Tanzler, but when we get to Albert Fish. If a victim can't get to a hospital quickly, he should treat himself by burning his flesh just ahead of the bacteria. The burn will slow the infection down and give the victim more time to reach a medical facility. The only effective treatment for necrotizing phenomena is amputation of the infected limb or body part.
What
the hell?
Have you ever seen pictures of necrotizing fasciitis?
Yes.
Yeah, it looks like movie zombies do.
There is a definitely a way to stop it. Brown recluse spiders cause it.
Yeah, they do.
And they can stop that. They don't got to amputate nothing. Not generally, unless it gets real bad.
Yeah, that's crazy you know that, because I just learned about the brown recluse the other day, that their bites do cause necrotization in the flesh area. Mm-hmm.
It really literally causes your skin to rot off if you don't stop it fast enough.
It's super gross.
It's gross, yeah. It's bad.
Hold on.
Just think about, like, oops, I'm dripping flesh.
Yeah.
That was the title of my original autobiography.
Oops, I'm dripping flesh.
Dripping flesh.
Oops, I'm dripping again.
It's that's actually my flesh.
That's the start of a real good rap song from about 2007.
Yeah.
Oops, I'm dripping again.
Big black Escalade in the back.
Yeah, yeah.
Just bouncing. Hell yeah.
What are you doing?
Josh has currently run ahead.
It's like, oops, I'm dripping again. I got this gold chain. Some other bullshit.
Josh actually just ran away. He had a necrotizing fa-da-da-da-da, and he had to burn his left lung. Oh, he's back.
Oh.
I got better.
He got British.
Yes.
Oh, no.
The next story
she turned me into a newt.
The next story is how to get rid of a tapeworm.
Oh, God.
A young woman returned from a trip to Southeast Asia to find that while overseas, she had contracted a tapeworm. She was allergic to all the medications her doctor prescribed, and out of desperation, she turned to an old remedy suggested by a friend.
All of the prescriptions? Allergic to all of them?
Yes,
all
every single
them.
Prescription.
All of them, dude.
All of them.
Every single
them.
One.
Even like Pepto-Bismol.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right.
You can get prescription-grade Pepto?
I imagine you can.
You ought to see the blackness of the stools in that.
God.
It's like, you know that black that all color or all light is, can't escape from that they've created? It's like that level
Vanta
of black.
Black.
It's called Pepto-Bismol X, and it's like just a darker shade of pink.
It's called activated charcoal.
Yes.
There you go. It's just a raw piece of charcoal. It's just like, eat this.
It's fucking close.
Take 3 bites every 4 to 6 hours.
Nah, dude, they make you drink like a fucking milk carton or two full of like a charcoal slushy.
Yeah.
And it's the worst.
Mm. God, it's so Pepto-Bismol X is real.
Yeah,
basically.
That's how you get rid of poisoning.
So, this is disgusting, the woman's friend said, but my grandmother swears that it works. For 3 days, don't eat anything and drink only water. At the end of the third day, fill a large bowl full of sour milk and hold it up to your mouth.
Oh!
The tapeworm will be starving by this point, and the smell of the sour milk will draw it out. The sick woman did exactly what her friend suggested. For 3 days, she lived on nothing but plain water. At the end of the third day, she sat down at her kitchen table with a huge bowl of sour milk. She bent low over the bowl and opened her mouth as wide as she could. She inhaled deeply through her mouth, hoping the fumes from the rancid milk would make their way down her throat to her stomach. For the first couple of minutes, nothing happened. Then she felt a queer stirring in her stomach.
You know, the 3 days of not eating is actually the perfect amount of time because you can just leave the milk out for that same amount of time and then it's ready.
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. That's just sensible.
Look at that.
Just sensible.
Slowly she could feel...
It's only logical.
Slowly she could feel something creeping up her esophagus.
Honestly, this is creepy.
I feel something creeping up my esophagus.
You're an esophagus. She wanted to gag, but she resisted the urge. Then she felt the worm at the back of her throat, crawling over her tongue.
Absolutely not.
It was the most disgusting thing the woman had ever experienced, but she braced herself. The slimy creature then brushed against the teeth of her lower jaw.
Pull it!
When the tapeworm poked its head out of the woman's mouth, she grabbed it, yanked the worm from her body, and threw it across the room. A tapeworm, 5 feet long, struck the kitchen wall and felt that on the floor.
Can't you just see the moment where it like sticks for a second?
It slowly slides down. I'm just actually only picturing like a xenomorph from Alien. Just
yes,
like,
that's, yes,
right?
Me too.
You were thinking about that?
This is exactly the way you get rid of a xenomorph.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
sour milk.
Yeah, sour milk. if I had tape, okay, this is weird. If I had tapeworm coming out of my mouth, just like kind of like, just kind of like doing like a little tummy thing, I'm going to run to the next room where my mom was and be like, ah! just like, ah, just scream with a fucking tapeworm just like vibrating out of my vocal cords. Like two tongues, but
just so do like a Gene Simmons kiss tongue, but with the tapeworm.
Awful, awful, bad. Ew.
Oh my God.
So that's apparently funny. This old world remedy for getting rid of a tapeworm has been around for centuries, but has no factual basis.
Yeah, no shit.
The roundworm, however, is another story. If a roundworm is starved, it will crawl out of the stomach and into the host's esophagus, at which point the gag reflex will cause the victim to vomit up the worm.
Cool.
There you go.
Gross.
Nature's so fucked. Like, every time I learn something more about nature, I'm more upset that I know it. I
mean, absolutely.
I'm really interested in the fact that all worms have the most basic bitch names. Roundworm.
Tapeworm.
Tapeworm.
Yeah.
Earthworm.
Earthworm.
Flat earthworms.
Flat earth worms.
They're worms with really bad opinions.
Yep.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
My God. It's a worm that's like, I'm libertarian.
I am a
sovereign citizen of these United States.
We're a republic. Fuck you.
Cindy actually shared a meme with me, and I meant to bring it. But basically, it says proof that the world is flat is the world is 75% water. None of it is carbonated.
That took a hot second.
Fuck off.
So, like, imagine if one day we went into the fucking into a lake and it was just club soda.
That's an SCP.
Why is it here? Who knows? It's just club soda.
It's SCP 7 Up.
An anomalous lake was found off the coast of Lake Erie.
It's SCP Perrier.
So we're going to go ahead and leave the disgusting stuff because I don't know why I thought there were more stories.
SCP LaCroix.
So this one is called It Loses Something in Translation. Great. The Sumitomo Corporation of Japan developed an extremely strong, rust-resistant steel pipe. The company executives felt certain it was ideal for bathroom plumbing and hired a Tokyo advertising agency to market the pipe in the United States. The agency suggested the company give their pipe a name that would inspire confidence. The name they suggested was Sumitomo, highest integrity and toughness. And since Americans like to use abbreviations, the agency assured the Sumitomo executives that they would promote their pipe in the United States using the acronym. Within weeks, the first full-page ads appeared in American interior design magazines. One headline asked, "Do you have shit in your bathroom?" Another announced, "Japan is proud to send shit to America." A third urged consumers, "Trust Sumitomo. We produce shit every day."
That just makes me happy.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's just nice.
And I'm not going to read the title of the last one because it is actually the crux of the story. After 3 weeks had passed and she still had not had her period, a young college student visited
Jumping
the campus
right
health
into
clinic.
It on this one, huh?
Yes.
Seems oddly relevant.
I can't young wait to lady, see where this goes.
Young lady, the doctor said, "You're pregnant." At first,
what?
Seems oddly relevant.
At first, the woman was shocked. Then shock gave way to confusion. After all, she had been using contraceptive jelly. Finally, her confusion was replaced by outrage. Clearly, the manufacturer of the contraceptive jelly was selling a defective product.
Was it KY?
I'm just picturing contraceptive jelly, but it's like Smucker's brand.
Oh, shit.
She hurried back to her dorm, sat down at her desk, and wrote this letter. "Dear sir, for the past 6 months, I have been using your contraceptive jelly faithfully. Yet today, I learned from the doctor at my college's health clinic that I am pregnant. Obviously, your product does not work. I demand compensation from your company, or I will contact every television, radio station, and newspaper in the country to let them know that your product is defective." A week later, the young woman received a call from a customer service representative at the pharmaceutical company. "When I read your letter, I was very distressed," the customer service rep said. "Can you tell me how long you've been using our product?" 6 months, the college woman said. "And the package you have has not reached the expiration date. No, answered the pregnant woman. The date on the package says it won't expire for another 18 months. I see, said the customer rep. And you are certain that you use the jelly every day? Of course, the girl said. I've been spreading it on my toast every morning since I got it.
Yeah. I figured she was either actually using Smucker's jelly or she was eating KY jelly.
Yep.
There was no in between.
Nope. Nope.
I also thought when you said I've been spreading it on my, I was still picturing Smucker's jelly. Didn't think you were going to say toast.
Neither did I. Neither did I.
Were you going back to the bad or the girl who loved her cat story?
Maybe a little.
Did she love the cat?
Oh, she loved
the cat. Well, the cat loved her.
And Ricky Martin. And Ricky Martin was unfortunately there.
Somehow.
Ricky Martin, the pop singer?
Yeah, yes. Bud.
Like Livin' La Vida Loca.
Yes,
Ricky
Bud.
Martin.
Yes.
I don't need any more context. I think I'm good here.
Yeah.
I think I've come to the apex of that story.
So that takes us
out. Well, the apex of that story is that this supposedly real.
Allegedly
real 15-year-old girl's parents purposefully put Ricky Martin in her closet to surprise her, and then this girl got naked and put
pate
like a cat, like soft cat food, basically on her
self,
on her
genitalia.
Cat.
Yes.
Yeah.
And forced Ricky Martin and all of the people who were filming her with hidden cameras
live on live TV
pate off of her vagina.
To which Ricky Martin came out of the closet and said, I think I should leave now.
Can you imagine the day that girl had?
I can't believe you just whipped out a 2002 joke about Ricky Martin.
I'm pushing 50. All of my jokes are 2002 jokes.
That's so fair.
Yes.
Yeah, all of our jokes are going to be 2020 jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right, so that
we're still referencing Harambe.
Yeah, we did last week. It was mentioned Harambe, and what was the other? What were you talking about? That things were like,
oh yeah, with the fair or the weasel in the Large Hadron Collider that happened right around the same time as Harambe, where it threw off our whole universe.
Yeah, I saw that Disney movie. It's a sequel to Fox and the Hound.
Oh, I was gonna say it's the sequel to Over the Hedge.
It's the sequel to Watership Down is what it really is.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, here you go. Every time I bring that movie up to somebody, they're just like,
That's a deep pull, yeah.
My wife.
Quick question. What the fuck
Watership Down? Basically, it's rabbit snuff films.
What?
Yeah. An
animated rabbit snuff film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With Art Garfunkel music.
Additional question. What's an Art Garfunkel?
Simon and Garfunkel?
Oh, shit.
He's
what?
The other Garfunkel.
Yeah.
He's the third Garfunkel brother.
Yes. I don't even know the plot of Watership Down. It has something to do with a rabbit hierarchy or something.
Yeah.
And they're all like
It's like a fascist rabbit snuff film.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, we read the book when I was in school. Yeah.
Animated. It's animated.
That's even crazier than Felix the Cat.
Nothing's crazier than Felix the Cat.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
No, it wasn't Felix. It was what? What was it?
Whatever, Xanther. Yeah. Whoever gives a shit.
No, it began with an F, but I can't remember.
Philip.
It wasn't
Philip Morrison. Frank,
no, because Felix the Cat was.
Felix the Cat was a real cartoon.
A real cartoon. Yeah. It was a straightforward cartoon.
Oh yeah, what was whatever the crazy one
the porn
was.
One that you talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit. How did we get on to what?
You came in, we were getting ready to record, and you came in, you're like, I got a wild story to tell you guys.
Have you ever heard of. To tell us about that.
Blah, 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 the cat.
I can't remember how I fucking found out about it, but then I watched this video that was like a deep dive on it, and I literally, it was one of those times, Will, where you find something like on a Wikipedia dive, and you can't wait to fuck up somebody else's day.
Yeah,
I'm so happy about this.
And it was this fucking story about an inner city cat who,
you're so hyped,
just fucks his way through the city.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Don't we all?
That was basically the plot.
No, we don't all.
Most of us have tried to fuck our way through cities before.
Fritz the cat. Yes.
I'm going to read the fucking thing like I did last time, because you're going to love this. This is a 1972 film, just to overview it again.
This is an extra story now.
Yes. Fritz the Cat is a 1972 American independent adult animated black comedy film written and directed by Ralph Bakshi.
Oh, Ralph Bakshi!
In his feature film debut.
Mark's about to call in right now because we ushered the words Ralph Bakshi.
He did force us to mention Ralph Bakshi last week, too. Let's see. I need to just...
Just do it.
Do it.
Do it. Look it up.
Yeah. Look it up.
No,
hard.
I can't. It's just about him. It's like at the end, he just fucking dies.
Yeah.
No. He almost dies. He ends up in a hospital, and the last scene is an orgy with a trio of nurses in a hospital.
So he fucks through the city and ends
he
up in a hospital.
He fucks through the city and ends up in a hospital because of an explosion.
And then he did what he did best.
Yeah. And then he fucked his way out of it.
He fucked the hospital.
Right.
It honestly... The craziest thing about it, Will, is that if I was 15, that would sound like, I'm going to check that out.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, on the deep dive, it showed some of the animation, and it's that 1972 creepy, off-putting animation.
Oh, yeah.
So the whole film feels like you're in hell.
It runs like an Adult Swim skit.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put that.
Yes, it does. It feels like you're 15, it's 3 a.m., you're watching Adult Swim, even though your mom said you can't, and it's one of the ones
really low.
That it makes you feel like you're dying. Like you're actually dying, especially if you're a kid who took acid.
Oh, yeah.
I was.
Have you ever watched Gumby on acid?
Yeah, no, I haven't on acid because I've never done acid, but I have watched Gumby real high, and it's not good. It's not pleasant.
You'll forget about Gumby.
Yeah. You all sound like Jon Stewart in Half-Baked. Have you seen that?
Yeah, of course.
Have you ever looked at it?
I was a stoner in high school.
On weed.
What?
Jon Stewart, Half-Baked.
I don't know.
The movie Half-Baked, the Dave Chappelle.
The David Chappelle?
Yeah,
Dave Chappelle before he got shitty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pre-shitty Chappelle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
Dave Chappelle back when he had more than one joke.
This was before Chappelle Show.
This is like Con Air.
Wow, this is before Chappelle Show.
Yeah. Con Air.
So we're talking about Dave Chappelle's film and TV terribleness, not his
Con Air.
His stand-up, in my opinion, though controversial, is still masterful.
I think he's just talking about the controversy being shitty.
Yeah, well, just
and the fact that I just said
he only has like three jokes now, and two of them are about trans people.
Oh, I haven't watched any of those.
Oh,
the last one I watched.
I've lost enough heroes.
Yeah,
I am choosing to ignore that Dave Chappelle is that bad for like a little while longer.
Give it a minute. Yeah,
I had to do that for in this way. I'm not going to support his new shit, but I will support the stuff that I've been watching for comfort since I was 12.
That's fine.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
You can separate the person from the art.
I'll watch that. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People grow and change, and he just happened to
go the wrong way
a little bit there.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Iconic.
Right. So on that note,
on all those notes
that we said 15 minutes ago,
17 tangents in 5 minutes.
Yeah, welcome to Two Towns Over.
Yeah,
we're gonna wrap up. I have been Don.
I've been Ruben.
I've been Josh.
I've been Sharknado 3's Will Wiley.
And we will see you next time. Fuck cancer.
Fuck cancer.
Fuck cancer. Be good to yourselves.
Bye.
Bye-bye.